Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and so is Survivor. Episode 1 of season 44 has premiered. I had to think about that for a second. I want to say episode 44.
Yep.
Survivor 44 has premiered. We had a wild tribal council. We had a medevac on day one. We had a 1-0 boot. Yes, that is how that ended up shaking out for Maddie, who also happened to be my first pick in the fantasy draft. Not only my first pick, but the first overall pick. So that's a curse. I also had Bruce on my team. So if you followed in my footsteps and took Bruce and Maddie on your fantasy team, sucks, because I did the same. But we are back, and Survivor 44 is definitely bringing a lot of things. And we're going to talk about all of those things, what the advantages, the twists, the birdcage idol. And we'll be talking about whether or not anything at this tribal council actually made any damn good sense. But first, I have to ask, why in the world would you climb a rock formation on Survivor when all that's beneath you is rocks? Please explain.
Well, you know, I feel like I need to birth us all into this podcast to use Jeff's own words that were said on television tonight. We knew that was coming from the finale a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And even then we were like, what's this person doing? What's going on? And I still found it incredibly unnecessary. Was it entertaining? 100%. And was it one of the first like callbacks that wasn't, you know, necessarily sad? You know, when we were on with Peridium a few days ago, we were saying a lot of the players' history, it's typically a sad story or a growth story. Mm-hmm. And I actually really appreciated that Matthew was like, I was born an adventurer. This is what my life was like. And this is why I'm about to do this objectively pretty dumb thing and climb up this huge thing of coral. I don't really know what he was doing there, especially seeing that Bruce, I mean, he didn't know that Bruce had gone home at that point, but to then like be walking around in a sling after and like to possibly have your toe cut, like, that's got to feel pretty bad. And I do feel bad for him, but at the same time, like, what are you doing there? Like,
I know
Cody was also flipping over. It's one of the things where like Cody was flipping off his stuff last season and didn't hurt himself, so we think it's cool. So I want to be like wary. I want to be aware of that, but I don't know. Can't you have the adventure without doing that?
Well, and that's the thing. When Cody was doing that over water. Matthew was doing that over rocks. Like, you don't climb hard things over hard things. That's just a fact, right? Like, you don't do that. Climb hard things over water. And even if you get high enough up, there's not going to be anything high enough on that island that you're going to fall off and like break your neck. Like, but if you fall on rocks, bad things can happen. I do appreciate that they put him in a sling and that he continued to wear it the rest of the episode.
And it was like his shirt.
Yeah, it was his shirt. Yeah,
it was like, you did this.
Yes. So, okay, I have that problem like really bad where my shoulder will pop out of place if I move it in the wrong direction in any way. I've talked about that a lot on this podcast. One time I went to back my car out of the driveway and put my arm behind the headrest next to me and just pops out. It's so bad. When I went to the doctor and had it in a sling, the doctor was like, don't do that. You're just going to weaken the muscle. So I'm just saying right now, if Matthew goes home early, he's got a weakened muscle, and that's why.
Well, Phil, are you speaking poorly of the medics? Because the medics are the star of the show tonight.
Okay, first of all, where's Dr. Joe?
The best winter edit I've ever seen.
Where's the where's the real doctor? Is Dr. Joe?
Am I making that up? I really miss him. Where's I'm watching all of this, for those of you who are patrons, which you all should be, I'm watching all of this with the context of rewatching Ko Rong because it's currently on Netflix. Everyone should watch it. Dr. Joe, I don't know if Ko Rong broke him and then he left. I don't really know when this new team came or not, but it was definitely jarring. What's this guy's name?
Where's he from?
What are his credentials?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely like there was a lot of them. And I found, I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot because this was a huge part of this episode. I weirdly found the medical scenes to be so rushed, and not like we got Bruce out of here because like we needed to, but it was like Bruce closed his eyes and then Jeff is there and then he's gone. It was really, really fast.
So I think, so Liam Neeson's wife, right? Am I wrong about this?
This is definitely where I thought you were going.
Yeah, no, hold on. No, this is important. This is important. So Liam Neeson's wife, Natasha Richardson, in 2009, fell while skiing. And she was like fine, and then she wasn't.
Mm.
And it was a head injury. Now, I don't know if she actually was fine and then she wasn't, but I know she was on life support at some point. But anyway, what happens sometimes with the head injuries is you are like fine and then you're just not. And I think that was the concern, is that like when they checked him out, they thought, okay, you have a cut on your head. Obviously it looks worse for a guy like Bruce who is bald. I don't think that was helping.
Also,
I
feel
like
any cut on your head is going to look,
it's going to look really brutal. I've split both my eyebrows open. And like when you do that, it doesn't stop bleeding. It's so ridiculous.
For those
and like
of you who have never listened to this podcast before, Phil is just a broken man.
I just want to let all these players on 44 know that like I've done what they've done. I can feel what they're feeling. But I definitely think what ended up happening was it was a concussion that they didn't think was a concussion originally, because he was very responsive. He seemed like he knew what was going on. He was probably able to follow the finger and do everything that needed to do. And then I think what they got worried about is, uh-oh, if he starts having like brain swelling or like a buildup in some way, this isn't something where we can just have him sitting on the beach being like, duh, because that's like what was happening.
Yeah, and like talking it through with him. Yeah, he wasn't speaking. I know, and I, for those of you in the comments, my commentary was about like the cut of the show, not of the fact that Bruce, but I'm glad he was pulled as quickly as he was.
Well, I'm not glad he was pulled as quickly as he was. I wanted Bruce was my Dan Barry, damn it.
He was your Dan Barry, but that's fair. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you had a rough
premiere. But okay, I feel for Bruce. But what is good about this is now Pat, Bruce, and Courtney Moon. The one we really need is Courtney Moon, but all three of them can now come back as captains a la Penner, Scoopin, bad word, and oh my God, why am I drawing a
Russell
blank? Russell Swan, thank
Russell
you.
Russell Swan was very active on Twitter tonight.
Yes, so we could have all three of them come back now and lead their teams to victory, and I just want to see Courtney Moon when she doesn't have to jump 10 feet, okay, and hope she lands properly with no training. That's all I want to see.
Yeah, I know. Justice for her. But yeah, that's crazy that we could now have a season of first medevacs, like first boot medevac.
Well, and okay, so now everybody in the comments is saying Ann Jackson, but the problem with Jackson was his wasn't a physical
medical
thing. It was the drug he was on. It was the medication he was on that prevented him from being able to continue through the game. So that's, unless he is completely off of that medication, I don't think that he'd be able to come back and play in the way that like Bruce, the second he got into the hospital, was probably like, I'm pissed. Like, this sucks.
Yeah, you know, I felt
gonna,
for him.
I'm going to let down all the Phils of the world, and I'm so
do you think he was thinking about you when that happened?
Yes. Yeah. I would have been.
You were thinking about Bruce when you turned back and pulled your shoulder out. But no, it completely and utterly sucks for Bruce. I can't imagine what that's like. And for that, like, that happened challenge one. And I think Mike Bloom said he was out there for 12 hours. Like, that is just so brutal. I think he's going to be doing exit press, so I'm glad that he can, like, speak to whatever he needs to or whatever he wants to. But just a really, like, unfortunate and just sucky way to start. I feel for him.
And I think what's so unfortunate about this one is it really was, like, it was him. Right. I think that's the thing that would, like, eat at me, like, my whole life.
Oh, it wasn't like the client, like, it wasn't too hot. Like,
yeah, it wasn't like when you look at what happened with Courtney, like, that was the challenge.
Yeah.
What happened with Pat was like, was the boat, you know, that was, they were kind of out of their control. Courtney's wasn't totally, but like Bruce was so amped to play a survivor and he just misjudged how shallow that was. And like, that sucks because this was a guy, I really believe Bruce is somebody who could have won the game. I think they put Bruce on this season as one of their favorites to win the game. Because when they're putting these people on the show, they know who realistically can win and who is Carolyn. Okay. Like I Carolyn is going to be a bundle of fun, but Carolyn also is not going to win this season. And if she does, I will be floored, but I just don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. Bruce feels to me like older guy, lot of experience. When he's talking about like he was whatever he was 25 years, which is longer than half of his tribe has been alive, like all of that stuff is so different. And I think this was the guy with the demeanor, with the strength, with all that to win. But good on the Tika tribe for still winning the immunity challenge without having him, because as we know, they've evened out these tribes a lot. And Bruce was definitely supposed to be the one going head to head with Brandon and going head to head with I can only assume Danny is who's supposed to be like the really strong guy on green, but I think green is more of an even tribe, but we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact like Jeff was like, you're a leader like 12 hours into this. And not to say that Bruce isn't a leader, but like Jeff was already like really, really excited for him. But I think you make a really good point to sort of transition into the rest of the tribe. That tribe specifically is quote unquote adults and the kids. And as soon as Bruce was gone, the adults were sort of like exposed. And I don't necessarily know if like Jam Jam and Carolyn like even wanted to work together. It sounds like Carolyn wanted to work with anybody. But they were sort of like left in this really weird position. And it sounds like it wasn't even at the point where like alliances were being formed. But I think losing someone like that, it's really exposing the remaining five.
Yeah, I agree. It makes you start playing the game a lot faster than you want to start playing the game, which is always hard. Like, I mean, day one, you're not expecting this to happen. You're still running on adrenaline. I mean, here's where I really feel for Bruce and for this purple tribe. They've all been out there for 5 days or something. Like, it's not like they just showed up on the beach and it was like, okay, cool, whatever. I mean, I don't know if Fiji still had restrictions when they were filming this, but they might have had to do quarantine and then they go out there and then they're out there for another 5 days or whatever it is. Like, there's so much going on there. Like, you might look at this and say, poor Bruce only played 12 hours. Poor Bruce only played 12 hours after having to deal with all this stuff for so long. And I feel for his tribe, because if you come in and you're Jam Jam and you're Sarah and you're Carolyn, who like seem to be getting along pretty well with Bruce, that just sucks when it's totally out of your control like that. Like, there's just nothing you can do. On that tribe, it was Carson. And then who was the other woman on that tribe? Helen, right?
Yeah. Helen. Liking Helen. Getting good.
Liking
vibes.
Helen a lot.
Loving Helen.
Yes. I'm liking
Sarah, Helen. Coach's niece is really, I like where she's at.
I like her position in the game, but I got to say, I think Carson is impressive. Like, I really do think Carson is an impressive player right now. So I think this helps the younger people for sure. But absolutely, I also think that like Jam Jam is going to have enough game where he can make something work with who's out there. And I also think that like I think Carolyn was stuck more with Bruce than Jam Jam was. And I think the thing is, Bruce probably was willing to put up with a personality like Carolyn's. And I'm saying that sounds so negative, but you know what I mean? Like, you're there on day one, everybody's trying to do their thing, and you have like this really loud, aggressive personality. That's hard. Helen, I thought, did a terrible job of kind of appeasing Carolyn, whereas I feel like Bruce was probably doing that.
I don't know if Helen nailed it, but that was like purposely aimed at Helen's face. And I was like, Well, Helen maybe is a good liar or a bad liar, but whatever she is, that's what I want to talk.
Well, did she nail it to Carolyn? Yes. Did she nail it to like the viewer? I don't think so. Like, oh, I think that, yeah, like course. The viewer sees right through it, but I think she did what she had to do with Carolyn. But all of that's just to say, I don't think Jam Jam was as connected to Bruce, where I think he'll be able to get along with like Helen, Sarah, and Carson. It's really going to come down to where does Carolyn fit in there, and do any of the others try to work with her now that Bruce is gone?
Yeah, I think I actually really like Jam Jam's position. And he obviously had like the hottest pre-merge of anybody, but he and this whole cast knows how to make fire. I was blown away by how like easy and impressive that was. But I really liked what he said. And you don't really hear this ever said, but this world that he's in Fiji, that's his world. Like, Puerto Rico and Fiji are not the exact same place, but humid climate, being on the beach, like all this jungle, that's not new to him. So there's no fish out of water situation for him. When I think in previous seasons, you would put someone like Jam Jam on a season and people would say, oh, he's such a fish out of water, blah, blah, blah. He's thriving. He's doing just fine. So I think he's going to do really well. With Carson, anyone who can put on 35 pounds of muscle in what, 4 months?
Yeah,
that's, that is like absolutely insane. If I like did, I thought he said he was 110 and now he's 145. Good for him. That is like crazy, crazy impressive. I like how he's playing. He's playing better than I thought. He's doing that thing where he's a little cocky to us, but he's on TV. And you know what? I'm here for that. So
yeah,
I'm liking it.
I totally agree. Yeah, it was Jam Jam who made fire. What was that?
Oh, yes. Jam. Oh, no, I was saying there was a, I loved the moment of Carson was like, no, I'm single. And everyone's like, no, you're cute. And I was like, this is like the kid coming home on Thanksgiving. And everyone's like, but you got so much muscle, honey.
I will tell you what, Carolyn was about to be like, are you single? Yeah.
She was like, maybe.
Are you now?
They put a camera on her for a little too long.
Is this the showman's? Is this the showman? Okay.
This is the drama.
That's the drama. It's definitely not going to be Franny and Matt. It's going to be this. But anyway, so then we had Matthew made the fire and Heidi made the fire. So I just wanted to point out that those three people were the ones who made the fire. Heidi's story was interesting. We'll talk about that when we actually talk about that tribe. But sticking with this tribe for just a little bit longer. In terms of like winning, I'm looking at the chat and everybody's like, well, after what happened with Gabler, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I was calling Gabler from like day four. Like, what are you all talking about? But anyway, I think that Carolyn definitely has an uphill battle because it seems like she's just in like a chaotic mindset going into this game. And then it's going to be chaotic. And I think she's going to have a hard time connecting with people. She could get to the end, but how is she going to get people to give her votes? I don't think she'd be able to explain that well enough at the end of the day.
I would have said that about Gabler. I'm going to be so honest, but Kate, I agree with
Gabler
you.
Gabler was calmer. Does that make sense?
Have you rewatched the pre-merge? I'm not totally disagreeing with you. The pre-merge is really not great.
Okay.
But I do agree with you. And she, like, we've also never seen this before. The episode opened with a confessional. That was a really cool, like cold, I don't know if it's a cold open, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't necessarily think that Carolyn has a chance to win. I think maybe we have the Aubrey and David situation with her potentially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think she has an uphill battle. And I think she knows that too. We talked about this in the preseason. She seems incredibly aware of how she is. And she even said that she's like, my kids were saying, don't be too whatever while you're out there, mom. So I'm excited to see where it goes with her. She very well could go home next week, which would definitely be unfortunate, but
well, they broke the fourth wall with her right away where like the producers are trying to feed her information and she's like not able to give them the information they're looking for. And that's where I'm like, how is she going to like, she's not able to give the producer even says to her, literally the producer says to her, this is the easiest one.
Yeah.
And she still couldn't do it. And that's where I'm like, okay, if she's sitting in front of a jury and she has that type of energy, how is she doing that? She's just not
absolutely
doing it. But yeah. I like that they broke the fourth wall with her right away. I thought that was an interesting choice to open it up. I also think, though, that shows like Carolyn's a character on this season. And while I can sit here and say I don't think Carolyn's going to win, I think Carolyn is going to last. I don't think she's going home next week. I don't think she's going home the week after. I think Carolyn is going to find a way to continue through this season. I think she's a massive character on this season, and I don't think they would do something like that for somebody who's going to be 16th, 15th, 14th, 13th. I just don't think they would.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Okay. Before we jump over to the other tribes, I just want to talk about this one real quick, because then we can go to Orange, because we had Brandon who got, you know, heat stroke essentially at the challenge, but or heat exhaustion. Sorry, he didn't have heat stroke. He wouldn't, I don't think he'd still be in the game. I'm not a doctor. But so
our opinions are our own.
Yeah, right. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on this show when I talk about my shoulders and my eyes and all that fun stuff. But I need, when I'm looking at what happened in these challenges today, I just have to say, play the damn challenges. Okay.
Yeah. What's up with
play the damn challenge? I understand that Bruce had a head injury, but Bruce was also done with his portion of the challenge when he went down and was whatever. Bring in medical and have medical look at him. To pause the challenge and do all that, Victoria Bamonde, who, you know, can do no wrong in my eyes, had the tweet of like, postpone our challenge, pause our challenge when Lauren passed out and everybody
in front of her.
In front of her, and everybody's calling Aurora a villain because Aurora's like, I want to make a deal with you. And everybody's yelling at Aurora, and Lauren's laying on the ground unconscious. And like, all that's happening. Joe Anglin passed out. Russell Swan passed out. And when Russell Swan passed out, obviously that was different. They did stop the challenge, but they also pulled him from the game in that exact moment. So that is a different scenario. But I think what annoyed me with this one was Bruce wasn't – like when Russell Swan was doing that, he was pushing the ball, right? Like he was in it. Bruce was off to the side. He was on his mat. They could have somebody come over to him and just look at him. Like you said, they moved so quickly on these anyway. Why can't Dr. Will come in and look at it and say, okay, like you're going to be okay? Because then when he was fine and Bruce does the whole like survivor's ready, go – that's great and all, and will probably be Jeff's number two moment all time to Suri crossing the balance
beam. I didn't need that.
But I didn't need it, and I don't understand why they stopped the challenge. And I'm looking in the chat, and it's like they paused it for Russell. They paused it for Courtney. Courtney broke her wrist, and Russell Swan, they pulled from the game because they actually thought he was like going to have something severely bad happen to him. Like Jeff always says, that was the most scared he's ever been on that show. I just don't think it was – necessary. And then it especially was not necessary with Brandon, because even though Brandon said, I don't think I can get up, immediately after saying those words, he got up and walked over to a tree. So like, we don't need to pause that, sit him over there, have medical look at him. And then if you need to say, okay, stop, timeout, whatever, but you're doing the timeout. Brandon's getting water. Brandon's getting an IV. I mean, I just think about back in Australia when like Tina Wesson and Keith Fammy could have drowned in that flash flood and Survivor would have been like, well, we lost two of them. What are you going to do about it? Like, it just felt like too much. And I get that they're probably on their toes after what happened with Bruce and knowing that they had to pull him from the game. So maybe they're a little bit more concerned about Brandon. Brandon was tired because you made him drag coconuts back and forth across the beach for 4 freaking hours. Of course he's exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. Brandon had a rough like 2 days or however many days he had that. Yeah, it's I think it just is jarring because it's a huge shift from like when was the last medevac that we had? It's been a really long time. And so I think when I think of medevacs, I think about Koh Rong, where like 9 people almost died. We talked about Russell. And so I think maybe that's where I'm like, wait, they immediately started doing all of this and they're probably covering their backs, which I get it. I don't want anyone to suffer for the sake of like, don't give Brandon an IV, like let him suck it up. Like I don't like need that, but I like keep the challenge going. If like, especially immediately he's okay. It seemed like they pretty much immediately figured out he needs some water and shade. He needs to stop doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And shockingly, he'll feel better. But like all the players then took a pause and all the players got water. And again, they're feeding them less. I get what they're going for, but it felt like a big shift in how they usually handle the medical situations, which is probably why I was kind of like, eh?
Yeah. Well, and so here's okay. So I'm just real quick over to the chat, and then I'm coming back to what you're saying.
And this has nothing to do with Bruce. Like,
Bruce and Brandon. Like, if you're hurting, if you're suffering, like, I'm not going to be one of those people who's like, suck it up, don't be a wimp. I'm more saying this from a production standpoint, and maybe we'll have to go listen to On Fire with Jeffrey Probst after this.
Did you see that lower third?
I don't know. Maybe 14 times during my episode, but I actually couldn't see.
Go listen.
I couldn't see Bruce laying on the ground because that was blocking it. It was like, don't forget, after this, come watch this. And it's like, poor Bruce getting there. But so here's my thing. I'm reading over here and they're saying, well, I think they stopped it for Bruce because he still had to toss the ring up the post. He didn't, though, because two people had to do the puzzle. There were four people left. There were three rings. Bruce might have been supposed to do it. But then if Bruce says, guys, I can't do it because I'm physically not able, then somebody else goes and does it. Just like how Brandon was supposed to be helping them move around the slide puzzle pieces. Once he wasn't able to do it, then everybody else just had to do it themselves. So like, it is like, to me, that kind of is what it is. The one thing that I am very nervous about that they set a really weird precedent for tonight, they gave Brandon an IV. Okay. I don't want anybody being pulled from the game for medical reasons. I really don't. I think that that is bad for the game. I always think that that puts a blemish on seasons. We talk about it with Micronesia all the time. That pre-merge is brutal because of all the medevacs. And Korong, I think, generally was lower in some people's rankings because of all the medevacs. It feels like it ruined the game until you rewatch it and realize it really didn't. Okay? Like, they really didn't affect the game that much. Maybe Niels, but the others didn't really affect it all that much. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You give somebody an IV. When I went into the hospital in June because I was severely dehydrated, you get an IV, you're peeing immediately. Like, that's what happens because they're just like, here's every nutrient your body needs. Let's go. So to give Brandon one of those, what about Matthew, who like also did the coconut challenge? He didn't participate in this. I just think that's a weird trend to set. And I don't know if they felt it was medically necessary so it wouldn't pull him from the game. But I'm just surprised that they went to that right away, because IVs generally are for like, you're in terrible shape. We can't get you hydrated. Take this so we can get nutrients into your body so you can start to recover.
I am going to be honest. I have not been within 50 feet of an IV in my entire life, so I really cannot speak to this. But yeah.
Yeah. IVs are like, it would almost be like, hey, you are in a lot of pain. Let's give you like, I don't know, morphine so that you're not in pain anymore. Like, if they gave Missy freaking morphine or like Oxycontin and she's running around out there with her Achilles popped, like, that's essentially kind of what you're doing, where it's like, this is the strongest thing pretty much we can give you. Now, maybe it was just like a basic saline solution, but I just think it is interesting.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting that they showed it, but I feel like we saw a lot, but then when we when Jeff was talking to Dr. Will, then like, I felt like a lot was kind of skipped over, mm-hmm. which is fine. I really hope this is all we see of like the medevacs, but it might not be. Like, this could be like what's coming for the whole season. Should we pop over to some of the tribes?
Well, yeah, let's talk about Orange then. So we'll go into this. Just the last thing I want to say about this. With Bruce, it seemed like when Jeff got there and saw the IV too, he was like, oh, so you've already like prepped him to be pulled from the game. And they were like, yes, we have prepped him. And I feel like that was like the signal. So when I saw that in the background, I was like, what is going on here? But anyway, let's talk about Orange, because this was a cluster cuss, right? This was a cluster cuss. Maddie goes home. Brandon plays his idol successfully. So if you have Brandon on your fantasy team, if you're one of our top tier patrons, patreon.com/survivor specialist, if you are one of our top tier patrons and you have Brandon on your team, you are off to a kicking great start. Alexa might actually win this thing, which are words I don't normally say.
Things that have never been said out loud.
You're in good shape. But okay, let's try to figure this out from what they all did. So here's this tribe. We have Maddie, we have Brandon, we have Matthew. We have Jamie. Heidi's on green. We have Jamie. We have Lauren. And we have, who's the other guy? Kane. Okay, so those are our six players. So that's how we're setting the scene. First decision, because they finished second place in the reward challenge, they got to determine if they wanted to do sweat or savvy. They took the 4-hour carry heavy things instead of the 15-minute, if we don't get our supplies, at least we won't be exhausted. What did you think about that decision?
So in my mind, I get it, because like, you can do the, you can just do that. It's not right or wrong. You can like will yourself to get all those coconuts. That one seemed brutal. Mm-hmm. And that was, I looked at them and I was like, that's not that hard. And then 15 minutes in, I was like, I could never actually do that. And they got pretty close to the 4 hours too. I think it all just boils down to like their perceived assumptions about each other at the beginning. It was sort of like with the Purple Tribe. They were like, oh, Carson has glasses, so let's make him do it. And with Brandon, it's like, we've got this huge dude. Let's make him do it. I think it unfortunately really just boils down to that because it's so early. And even Brandon, he was like, I know that they were going to do this. I knew they were going to pick me. I do appreciate, I like that they perfected this now a few seasons into it, that the second place chooses and then the third place just gets whatever the other one didn't choose. So that, I don't know, like you can say it was a bad choice, but I don't necessarily think it was a bad choice.
What you just said, though, is why I actually think this one was a bad choice. If you're just picking for the sake of picking, like we've seen in previous seasons, where like it doesn't affect another tribe, I think this was a good choice for them, right? They're a more physical tribe. They know whatever. But I think the fact that their decision impacted the other tribe and the other tribe's strongest guy just had to have medical look at him in the first 10 minutes of the game and everybody else on that. I mean, if you really look at the Tika tribe, the drop off from Bruce and Jam Jam might end up being like a really strong guy, but the drop off from Bruce, you're not looking at anybody going, okay, that's Sydney Gillen, right? You're not looking at anybody thinking that's going to be that level of person, or maybe you're going to have like an underestimated strong player like Ricard. I don't think you were looking at that with the Purple Tribe. So I think if I'm the Orange Tribe, I almost look at that and say, let's just make them do it for 4 hours. Because if Bruce can't do it, who is literally going to do this?
Yeah, I don't know who can do it. Yeah, that's fair. I think maybe they don't – actually, I was going to say they don't think about it. But then I remember Matthew, who like kind of didn't want to do it. Matthew was like, well, we have to consider passing it to them. But my guess is it was probably a matter of, I think I can guarantee that we do this or that we complete this versus you get one shot and if you get it wrong, you get it wrong.
And I do think, though, based on how tonight's episode went, if this is a decision in season 45 – you will see the tribe pick Savvy no matter what because of what an impact this had. If Orange wasn't able to sit out Matthew, because let's say Bruce stays in the game, Matthew and Brandon were going to be useless for them in this challenge. Brandon pretty much was. I mean, he still had to get the thing up there, so to call him useless isn't accurate. But he wasn't able to be as physical as he should have been. Maybe that was a little bit because Matthew wasn't there to help him, but it also had to do with the fact that he was exhausted from that challenge. And why was Matthew so exhausted? Well, he climbed rocks, but he also had to do the coconuts. So I think that you will see the tribe in power next season, if they do decide to bring this back, elect to do Savvy pretty much no matter what. I just think it's going to make sense for him.
Yeah. And the only person that like the way that Ryan and Gio did the sweat, that was like the way to break that pretty much. Yeah. You can't break this coconut one. This was just endurance, strict endurance. But okay, so that happens. There's so much to unpack here. And then Lauren was crushing the first half of this. And it's not even like, I don't even think she did anything wrong. I actually like Lauren had herself set up in such a great position. The bank your advantage, advantage that is so perfect for this, the like era of Survivor that we're in because of how often people are losing their votes.
Yeah.
And it's perfect for her. She can lie about it. Done deal. A little like weird. I'm not sure what the rules are. Matt took his paper home. Did everyone know that they could do that? Like maybe Lauren would have done that, or maybe he's just like, credit to him for doing that. But I feel like it kind of stinks that Lauren got punished for like not doing that, but maybe she wasn't playing hard. What's your take on that?
You know, I just don't think she thought of it. And I think,
I don't know if I would, I wouldn't have thought.
I don't know if I would have either. I don't really fault her for this, honestly. Yeah. Like,
she would have gotten away with it if it weren't for Claire.
If it weren't for Claire and those meddling kids.
Absolutely. Says, excuse me, and then tanks someone's game.
So, okay. So Claire is an interesting one, right? Because we didn't really hear from Claire at all this episode until then. And I was like, where the hell was she the whole time? This is Michelle Fitzgerald's winner pick. You do realize that, CBS, right? And they probably did.
They did her right, like, yeah.
Don't edit her. Get her out of here. But I thought that was like great from Claire, and then that puts the thought in Matthew's head. I want to know, why did Brandon land on Maddie? That's what I want to know. Why did he go to Maddie instead of Lauren?
I actually love that the Brandon Maddie like frustration was possibly my favorite part of this episode, actually. So mm-hmm. Brandon and Maddie, they're paired off hunting for this idol key. And it's like the great combo of Brandon finds it, does a bad job of hiding it. Maddie knows, and then he fakes it. Like, they just keep lying to each other, mm-hmm. but they're stuck together. And I think it's one of them who says in a confessional, I don't think they want to work with me. And it's like, Maddie. We are just not compatible. And I thought that was really unique. That doesn't come up very often. So that was just a really cool situation of these two people are not compatible. They are not going to play well together. And I think they were just going to keep gunning for each other because they weren't going to work together. And it's a small tribe. And if one person's not going to work with you, that's like half the tribe.
Yeah. So my biggest problem with this whole situation. Okay. So we get Maddie saying she doesn't trust Brandon because she thinks she sees Brandon put something in his pocket. Brandon's ready to lie to Maddie. Then Brandon decides, okay, I don't want to lie to Maddie. So then he tells her, and Maddie all of a sudden is now like, well, maybe we shouldn't tell everybody else, even though she was about to go rat Brandon out. But now that she has the power, she's totally content with like not telling anybody, right? And
that's how
I thought it was interesting when Brandon just screamed at the top of his lungs, we found it. I don't think Maddie knew that was coming.
I don't think anybody knew that. That was crazy.
And that was a bad look and a bad move by Brandon because – like, even if you get rid of Maddie like he did tonight, who was gunning for him and all that, there's so much smoother of a way to do that. And I just feel like that was the worst way that could have went down, really, for both of them. I think both of them just looked bad. But Brandon screaming that, Maddie's now not going to work with you. Maddie went way too hard at Brandon. And it almost worked. Because I don't know what the hell the strap was doing.
And this is what, like, bothers me. I don't think Maddie went too hard at Brandon. I think she was doing the right thing. Someone who's not going to work with her, someone who has an idol.
Mm-hmm. True.
And everything was fine until, for whatever reason, two people played their shot in the dark. Why did Matthew do that? Why did Jamie do that? Did they not want to commit to voting for someone? Were they acting like that? Blows my mind.
Yeah. So, okay. First, Jamie's made zero sense, right? Like, and
yeah,
Jamie
came out of nowhere.
Jamie almost felt like her whole plan, if Shot in the Dark was there, was she was going to play it at the first tribal because she didn't want to be the first boot. Maybe I would do the same thing if I was like, I just don't want to be the first boot. But she was so excited when it came back safe. And it was such a waste. Like keep the shot in the dark is kind of useless anyway, but like, why? Like, this just felt like nothing. And then
so
I don't
like a get a Lindsay situation. Like, she was just freaking out.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. And I think Matthews. So here's the difference, right? Like, I think Matthews was a bit strategic, where I don't think he wanted to cast a vote for Brandon or Maddie, just in case Brandon did. Like, because if he cast his vote for Brandon, let's say Matthew wanted to work with Maddie and Jamie and Lauren, who only one of them was voting, and Kane. But if he wanted to work with them, he doesn't want Brandon to know that, because he even said, Brandon, you know, I'm closest with Brandon. So I don't think he wants to vote there. So I think this makes sense from that standpoint. Because if you play this idol, now you don't have to vote for Brandon. If Brandon plays his idol, or if you play your shot in the dark and then you don't vote for Brandon, Brandon does whatever. But it almost was like he was also leaving Brandon out to dry, because then if he was going to work with Brandon, was he that scared? It felt like Matthew tried to do it strategically and was trying to play middleman and not get his hands dirty, but it's just a weird look.
Well, and that's the thing. These tribes are too small and none of these people communicated with each other. Like, because Jamie and Matthew did that, Kane, like, he's even said, I don't want to look like the guy who voted for Brandon. And now he's one of the only people he's the only person returning who voted for Brandon. And he didn't even want to. And if this had been communicated, then maybe Lauren would have voted and that could have changed some things. And what's funny is them doing that caused Brandon to play his idol.
Yep.
So, oh my God, it was really.
So if they did actually want Brandon out of the game, they're the reason Brandon didn't get voted out of the game, because they tipped Brandon off to just play his idol and make sure he was safe.
Exactly. Brandon was not going to play that. And good on Brandon for playing it. Because when half the tribe isn't voting, yeah, you're going to get spooked. And I'm sure he also, he actually thought that that was going to be beneficial for the tribe, like opening up that birdcage. And I think he was like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Yeah. So Brandon has gone through a lot of different waves in these 2 hours.
So I'm actually going to say, coming out of this tribal council, the two people I'm most confident in on the Orange Tribe going deep in this game are Brandon and Lauren. I think they are the best positioned right now. And here's why. Brandon no longer has the idol, just got votes, can now turn around and say to every one of them, you know what? I don't really trust you, but I'm the strongest person you got. Even if I sucked in that challenge, you don't have a choice. And I think that now without him having the idol, he's just going to kind of go back. And Maddie's not there to go after him. Maddie really wanted him out of the game after the whole incident with the idol.
Yeah.
Lauren, however, very quietly comes out of this looking phenomenal. And here's why. She told them all she lost her vote.
And she didn't vote.
And it came up as 2-1. And now she has 2 votes at the next tribal council or whenever she wants them. She can use it whenever. She can use it whenever. So she has banked that vote. So she will have an extra vote at a tribal council whenever she wants to. And she looks like she told the truth to her tribe, because mm-hmm. she said, I'm not going to vote. And now Zach just said here, but Claire told Matthew she lied. No,
she didn't
Claire
lie.
Told Matthew that Matt had brought back a piece of paper. Lauren didn't bring back the piece of paper, but now Matthew has no reason not to believe her because she ultimately didn't vote.
Yeah. I love the way Lauren's playing. I love it. I want Lauren and Claire to interact, because I wonder if it's going to get back to Lauren how this came up.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, and the fact that Lauren survived this vote because Maddie was the one gunning for Brandon, that's huge, because it should have been Lauren tonight. Yeah. It should have been Lauren tonight. She was the easy boot because they don't trust her coming back from the island. And she, I wrote it down in my notes here, she purposely put the rocks in and knew which one was the gray rock. Oh, so she'd be the one who went and got it.
Genius. I love that she did that. Genius. Absolutely genius. And I love that. And that's what I'm liking about Lauren. She's very subtle, and she's not showy to us about it. Like, mm-hmm. I really like how she's playing. And that's a great point. Like, she very well could have gone home tonight, but it was just a really weird combination of what Matthew and Jamie did. It's really like, I've never seen that before. That was wild. Yeah. And I'm not like, immediately I'm like, what the heck? This is such a bad move. Obviously, I don't know how it's going to net out, but I need a little explaining.
I will say,
I'm pissed.
Yeah, I think it was a bad move by both of them, to be completely frank. But I think that Matthew might be able to explain why he did it better than Jamie can. I think Jamie's reasoning was, I didn't want to be the first boot. I was going to play it no matter what. I think Matthew just didn't want to get his hands dirty early.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will definitely end up seeing with this. So that was this Orange Tribe. I don't know what to make of it. Kane's in a bad position now, because Kane, he even said, like, I don't want to be.
Fine.
He's like, I don't want to vote for Brandon if we're going to come back and Brandon's, you know, still going to be here. And sure enough, Brandon, now Kane is the one who looks the worst, because he's the only one who actually voted for Brandon. So is he going to be able to go around and convince everybody that, like, or convince Brandon, like, no, everybody was ready to vote for you. I don't know why they're doing this, but we'll see what ultimately ends up being Kane's move on that. Kane's in a bad spot. Kane's in a really bad spot. And Maddie, like, I liked Maddie's last words, because Maddie's last words were essentially like, I went for it. It was what would have been best for my game. It didn't work. I got 17th. And when we were talking to Peridium on Monday, I said, for the people going out to play season 45, don't be scared. just go out, play the game, play it as hard as you have to play it, do what you need to do, because not everybody's going to win. There's going to be one winner on your season. Not everyone's going to be remembered. No matter how well you play the game, they could edit you to make you look like you're not that good at the game. Maddie went out there. She played it as hard as she could. She did what she thought she had to do to get the biggest threat out of the game. It totally made sense. I think her tribe let her down. I really do. Absolutely. Lauren didn't let her down. I think that Matthew and I think that Jamie let her down. Ultimately, I think it was the right move. I think Maddie would have pulled it off had they not played their shots in the dark. And you know what? Maddie goes home. We could actually make the argument that, like, out of first boots, even though I know she wasn't the first one out of the season, but first boots, she played pretty impressively. She did what she kind of needed to do. She was just let down by everybody else around her.
Yeah, she did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Except get picked first by me. All right, let's jump over to Green, who was the quietest tribe, and we'll talk about them quickly, and then we'll
Matt had like 500 confessionals.
Okay, yeah. So Matt, okay.
Matt and Robert have the same hair.
They do. Hold on. I got to see if this is actually true. Go ahead. You go about this tribe. I'm going to look up this guy and see if he actually looks as much like Matt. Okay. Does anybody know the band Car Seat Headrest? Does anybody know that band?
It sounds like something that you hit with your dislocated shoulder.
Exactly. Look up the lead singer from Car Seat Headrest, Will something. I don't know what his last name is.
He's got good headbanging hair. You know, him and Matt. He's at a concert, like, rocking out.
Dude, they look almost identical. It's so weird. Like, they have the big glasses. They have the long black hair that definitely goes too far over the front of their forehead. Like, they're really skinny. I don't know if this guy's tall or not. But dude,
wow. Okay, Logan with the comment of the year. Franny and Matt couple name being frat. Absolutely love that. I'm going on record. I want this showmance because I love showmances. They never work and they're always entertaining. I'm here for it. Maybe they'll pull it off. I don't know. I want it to happen.
Well, and guess what? Who does Franny look like? Everybody's been saying all preseason. Kellen. What showmance did we not see? Kellen and Bradley. Here it is. Will Toledo. There it is. Thank you, Zach. Yes, it's Will Toledo. Matt looks just like Will Toledo. But anyway.
Yeah, and Matt recently single, as we found out. And then I'm telling you.
I mean, in the next episode. In the next episode, they're skipping down a trail, holding each other's arms. I think she might like me too. I mean, yikes. Also, there's people in here reminding you that Rob and Amber worked, Alexa, just in case you forgot.
Oh my gosh, people.
I know, just in case. I'm just throwing it out there.
Wow, anyway. Oh yeah, that's a great comparison.
Don't they look so similar? It's ridiculous.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really great. Maybe they're the same person. Who knows?
Maybe he is. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if Matt is Will Toledo, Matt, hit me up because we should hang out.
I like it. But I think as soon as they started vibing, I was like, y'all aren't friends. That's not what this is. Like, it was immediate like flirty tension. But
did you see the meme out?
No.
I forget who posted out there. John just sent it to me, but I think it was either Mike Bloom or somebody, but it's the Rob Sesternino from Amazon. And it just says, Matt and Franny are going to do it instead of Rob and Amber.
Matt and Franny, like, yeah, unbelievable. It's so good. What else is happening on the Green Tribe? Who else is on that tribe? We didn't get a lot there.
Okay. So Danny pretty much got nothing. They thought that he was going to be the one to start the fire. They were waiting for him to come back. And then Heidi said, screw that. I'm not waiting. I'm just going to make the fire myself. Heidi had that nice hero moment, but that's also all that Heidi did. I thought Heidi would have done more. She really didn't talk. I think that was like her only confessionals were about that.
But honestly, like, there wasn't a lot to give her. Like, I feel like because that tribe won like both. So she got the hero. Like, you wouldn't expect this of me, but look at this fire. I'm an engineer. I love that for her.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like that's the most you can get for someone who didn't go on the journey and won both challenges.
We talk about that all the time, right? Like, why were they giving Gabler a confessional in every episode? Why were they giving Michelle a confessional in every episode? Like, Heidi. Helen, Heidi, Jamie, like, stop with the E at the end.
Matthew.
Oh my gosh. I'm sad Maddie's gone, but Matt, Matthew, Maddie, to have Maddie be gone is very good for me. But I thought that, like, yes, I agree with you. Great content. Just surprised that there wasn't a little bit more, especially when Matt seriously ate up so much time. But the rest of that tribe got nothing. I had Claire with two confessionals, Danny with two confessionals, I had Franny with three. Are you serious with this? It's Danny and Franny on the same tribe. We have Matt, Matthew, and Maddie. I mean, they're doing this to torture podcasters so we all go away so everybody just listens to On Fire with Jeff Probst.
I'm going on record. I'm going to listen to that like right after this.
If I'm going to listen. I have to fly tomorrow. I'm listening to it on my plane ride tomorrow for sure. Who's the other person on the tribe?
So Claire didn't have – Claire had however many confessionals, but she carried a good presence. I think she had like one of the intro confessionals, and she also like blew up the Orange tribe. So even though she didn't say much, she carried a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It brings us back to these days. It's like Cerise, Sierra, and Sierra. That was a nightmare.
God, I forgot about that.
That was brutal. That was Alexa's first season. She's over here just doing alliterations, and Josh is the other person on that tribe. Okay. So,
from Josh.
Yeah. Okay. I really hope that we hear Josh's story, but I got to commend the editors for something real quick. I have to. And I know you mentioned this earlier, but I have to commend the editors. Thank you for not hitting us with every single horrific backstory.
We didn't get many backstories.
The only backstory we got was Matthew's, and it was about he left behind his 4-year-old son and husband. That's not that sad. That was like when Savage was like, my beautiful wife is back home with our beautiful daughters.
And it's so hard for me.
Yeah. It's like, oh, poor Andrew Savage. I remember that one.
That was the best thing that ever happened. Ross was like,
you're making me cry, you millionaire with a beautiful family. I hate you. That was really the only background we got. And I think that was a good thing because we talked about this. We don't need the sob stories to love them. One of my friends today asked me, he knew it was the premier Survivor. He said, what's your favorite season? I said, China. And he was like, yeah, cool. Like I was watching a little bit of 41 and I was like, don't do that to yourself. Just go watch China. And what I thought was funny, because then when I was explaining why to watch China, I was like, they just let the characters tell their stories. Like you don't get into the sob stories every single time. It comes out naturally.
Carolyn's story, like I can't wait to hear.
Yeah.
And that's coming naturally. It feels like, because I feel like it's like a part of who she is. And I feel like we're already sort of getting that. And I feel like I really am appreciating her that and, way. Besides a pick of skinny Carson. And Carson's Excel sheets.
Yes, and Carson's Excel sheets. But I really appreciated that. I really did. Because I think when we talked about this, when everybody starts to feel too same, then you stop. Then it starts, you get numb to it. It doesn't matter. Like, it's like, oh, great. Like, they had a bad upbringing or like they overcame all of this and then graduated from an Ivy League. Like, I'm happy for that person, but it stops having the same feeling. It stops having the same meaning. And I think they did a good job. And it seems like they're going to pick their moments a little bit. I think they're trusting a little bit more. Like, Alexa, have you started watching The Last of Us yet or no?
I can't do that show.
Okay. So Alexa can't do it. But
I watched episode one.
Whatever this was, episode 7, 8, whatever the last episode was, they finally gave us backstory on Ellie, right? But they waited. This is a main character of the show. There's two main characters on the show. She's one of them. They wait till episode 7 or 8. I didn't really like the episode. I thought it was boring. But they waited 7 full episodes to give us what they could have given us right away in episode 1. This show for the last 3 seasons has been giving us everything in episode 1. Like I'm talking 6, 7, 8 backstories in episode 1. That's what's been happening. And this season, it seems like they're backing off a little bit. They're going to let it unfold a little bit differently. And when we do hear stories about Carolyn, like you were saying, we got a little bit from her tonight. We don't need all of the flashbacks right away. We can just get a little intro. Let's let her story develop about why Carolyn is how Carolyn is. That's good. Storytelling 101.
Yeah, that is really good storytelling. So I definitely appreciated that. What do we think about the 2 new advantages in the idol cage?
Okay. Oh my gosh, yeah. Advantage Geddon is here.
It's coming.
It's here. Okay. I like the idol cage. I thought the idol cage added a nice level of paranoia. I thought it was cool that they all thought maybe it's something for the whole tribe. And then it turned out that it was just for one of them. And then, you know, like Matthew said, like, well, once everybody knows it dilutes that power, it's not that big of a deal. But I really appreciate the idol cage. That one wasn't a problem for me. I don't necessarily hate the inheritance advantage, even if I think it's a little over the top, but you still have to play it right, which I don't know if will necessarily happen. And then the bank of vote, I don't mind either. But here's my biggest problem. In the orange bag, there was a bank of vote. In the green bag, there was a, or whatever the colors were, there was a different advantage in every single bag. I think that's bullshit. Because you are now saying, if you drew this color, you have a chance of getting bank a vote, which I think is a much better advantage than the inheritance advantage. That's stupid that it's not the same advantages just based on what tribe you're on. I think that is way too much production.
That's been the case, though. And I'm not saying I like it, but I feel like that's been the case. They always get different advantages.
But remember, though, I think it has been the case, but because they've been doing the game theory stuff, they're only allowing like one person to walk away from there with an advantage rather than all three of them can walk away with an advantage. Having just one person be able to walk away with an advantage, that makes it so that even if there's something different in everybody's bag, only one of them is leaving with it. The fact that all three of them could have left tonight with three different advantages, and those advantages had nothing, they had no power over what advantage they got aside from the fact of their starting tribe, those advantages are not equal. Sarah's advantage sucks. Her advantage is terrible, I think.
I'm trying to well, actually, now that I'm saying this out loud, before I talk about Sarah's advantage, I feel like they should bring back the amulet, and you put one amulet in each tribe's bag, and that's all that's at. And then that sort of forces the journey people to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's
good. Sarah's advantage, I actually didn't hate because it feels very hard to pull off. It seems a lot harder to pull off than the knowledge is power. I don't feel like it's overpowered, but I'm trying to decide, am I just desensitized to all this? I feel like the only person who doesn't hate this advantage.
Okay, well, first, Corwin Green said, the sign literally said make an individual choice and choose a path. So it actually was pure chance of what they chose. I forgot that that was there. So my whole rant is gone. It's no longer as bullshit.
Like if I'm standing way on the right, I'm not going to be like, oops, good, move everybody. But like,
I guess that comes down to, did they make them kind of like orange walks on the right, purple walks in the middle, green walks on the left, or was it not so much that? I don't know. But I think the reason why people don't like her advantage, I don't think her advantage sucks from a gameplay standpoint. Like, I don't think like knowledge is power. I think is just like, you know, too much. I think it sucks for her, literally, because this advantage only gives her power if somebody actually plays stuff. And I think she has to play this advantage. Yeah, she has to play this advantage before that stuff is played. So she has to know it's coming.
She has to like convince someone to play an idol. She has to find out who has an idol, convince them to play an idol. And I wonder if it's like public when she plays it or if it's private. I would hope it's private. Because like if you play an idol and I play this thing and then I go waltz in front of everybody and take that idol, then that's not much of an advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, this is a really hard one. I think this is a more difficult one than knowledge is power. And I think, you know, Will, when he came on this podcast, he brought up a good point of like, maybe knowledge is power is kind of working the way that the producers want, because it's causing drama and it's causing like whatever. And maybe it is, but the problem with this advantage is, who is Sarah really going to be telling about this advantage? Like, I don't know if she necessarily needs to tell anybody that she has this advantage. So,
this is so much better if she doesn't tell anyone, which it could probably be the case for pretty much any advantage.
But I think it's much harder for her to pull it off.
Yeah, she needs someone to trust her, and she just says, okay, I'll be a good alliance member, and like not say anything.
It's hard. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea from production standpoint, but I think it's a bad advantage. But like Corwin said, if they did choose their own paths and that wasn't like predetermined for them, then okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But man, I think that Lauren's advantage is a million times better. And I actually think bank of vote's a good advantage. I think bank of vote is a good advantage because you had to, it's kind of like the beware advantage. But you don't necessarily lose a vote. Well, what would have been interesting is if she lost her first vote when she pulled it out, lost and then pulls that out. So now she's already lost one vote. Now to bank her vote, she has to not vote at a tribal council. She's pretty much going two episodes now without a vote, which is where Matt is. He's not going to have a vote for two tribers.
That's brutal.
How's he going to save his girl or himself?
I don't know. Possibly neither. Well, maybe they'll both go pre-merge together or they'll both survive. I think I have very high hopes for the two of them.
Or they'll be broken up like Kellen and Bradley.
Yep. My last point, love the medieval theme. I don't know why it is 30% of this theme. They should lean on in. They should have different color tribes. They should have the slide puzzle be something medieval. Like, do it. Do the army theme. Do the medieval theme.
Yeah.
I'm it feels so like- into the shield and the sword. Are you kidding me? Man, I was like swinging that. It was so cool.
Again, it feels like they're putting more effort into 44 than they were putting into like 41, 42, and 43. And, you know, like, I said that they're missing it a little, but I think they're trying to get back to like theme seasons, because as I was watching, I'm like, Survivor 44, what a title. And then like medieval themed, like, let everybody used to complain about Edge of Extinction and Island of the Idols and all that. Go back to the nonsense themes. Just don't put actual nonsense on TV. Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. You can complain that that's a stupid title. That's not what makes that a good or bad season, though. Edge of Extinction literally changed the game. So to call this like knights of the island, who cares? Like, call it that. Give us something to remember it by. And again, like you said, lean into it. Let's go Pearl Islands and Palau here.
Yeah, like make the challenges like treasure chests or make them look more medieval. Like I thought that was a super cool immunity idol, but it made absolutely no sense next to the challenge, you know? And like the chessboard of Tribal Council, so cool. But like, is it just Tribal Council that's season 10 right now? But
I know.
I liked it. I wanted to lean on sick. It. I loved it. Was it. Sick. Absolutely loved it.
Again, just doing your work. And really, this first challenge was kind of an old school challenge. This puzzle, like the puzzle wasn't like overbearing. It was a slide puzzle, but it was a big slide puzzle that was more physical.
Challenge.
Like, I like this. It kind of reminded me of like Palau and stuff like that. Let's do it. Like, I'm all about that. All right, before we go, I just want to run through these because we're going to stay on top of it this year. So here's what I got for everybody who's playing along at home. I got Brandon. Okay, so the confessionals, and 10 or more confessionals in an episode are not like official, but they're pretty much like Matt might have had 10. I don't know if Matt had 10, so I'm not counting him yet. But once I get like official numbers, I'll go there. However, Brandon had like 15 or 13 or 14 or 12 or 11 or 10. He was definitely over 10. So I gave him one. So if you had Brandon with 10 or more confessionals in any episode, you got that. He also had his mouth blurred and he found the cage idol. Bruce cried a physical tear. He got 5 votes or less and he had a confessional in every episode he was in. Carolyn cried a physical tear. Jamie cried a physical tear and she used her shot in the dark. Maddie got 5 votes or less and a confessional in every episode she was in. Matthew cried a physical tear. Had 10 or more confessionals in the episode, had his mouth blurred and used his shot in the dark. And Jam Jam, can't wait to see Jeff, and had the episode titles. So we're on top of all that. And I can tell you he's in first place right now. It's Survivor Dylan. He's got 11 points. 11 points after episode 1. 11.
Dang. That's impressive.
It's pretty damn good, man. I'm not going to lie. I am impressed. Color me impressed. Good job, Survivor Dylan. I'm very into that. Good for you. And that's what we have for that. If you were playing along in the fantasy game, if you had Brandon on your team and you didn't have Maddie or Bruce, you're probably in first place right now. Alexa and I are still putting those in, so we'll figure all that one out for you. But if you are a $20 patron or you want to become a $20 patron, do it now so you get your money's worth for the whole season. It's literally March 1st. It makes the most sense to do it. If you get to the end of March and you say, man, this is stupid. I hate these guys. Phil and Alexa are boring. John and McKenna aren't doing what I thought they were going to do. Then leave. But if you do it now and you're a $20 patron, you get to play in the Power Rankings game. The first Power Rankings are due by next Wednesday. So if you start now, you're not starting from behind. But if you start after next week, you're going to be starting behind people who are going to have like 15, 14, 13 something points. So get in now. Do that. And Alexa, I'll let you actually do your closing. But I just wanted to say that. Patreon.com/Survivor Specialist.
And there are a lot of good reasons to be a patron. John and McKenna, who Phil has mentioned and you've definitely heard about, they are also going to be joining our podcast in a bit more of a capacity. So you are going to hear from them. I believe tomorrow is when they do Survivor Rewind, correct? Or is it Fridays? I should know that.
So Thursday, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, they are going to do, I think it was 9 p.m. Eastern. They are going to do Survivor Rewind. And they'll kind of explain that when they do their first episode and everything like that. If they don't explain it, I thought they were going to explain it. But they're going to be doing that. And they're going to be doing a patron show that will come up at some point the weekend.
Yes. And for those of you who are patrons, we just recorded all of our February patron podcast on the last day of February, short month. But as Phil said, fantastic times to become a patron. We have a Discord server instead of a Facebook group because people use Discord more. Anyway, and Phil and I are both pretty active in that. So it's a good opportunity to get to chat with us, give us some ideas for any podcasts or any topics you want us to talk about. And we are hoping that we will be able to get a guest for every single Predictions podcast this season. And that is starting with this coming Monday at 7 or 6 yep. p.m. Eastern.
No, it's 7. It's 7.
At 7 p.m. Eastern, yeah. We are going to be joined by Brendan Shapiro. So we're really excited to have him back on the podcast. It's been a little while yeah. since we've had him on.
He's blown up in the podcast world since we last yes, had him. I like to say that we birthed him into the podcast world.
We birthed him, all right. So I cannot believe that that was said and no one is talking about that. So yeah, we're really excited to have Brendan back on the podcast. We are going to be power ranking the remaining 16 castaways. So make sure to tune into that. We're really excited to have him back on. And then next week, we're going to go back to our usual time podcasting at 9:05 PM Eastern, back to the 1 hour episodes.
Yeah. And go ahead, listen to Jeff's podcast as you're listening to all of ours. Yes, we will definitely be listening to Jeff's podcast. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. It looks like Mike Bloom just pretty much put out everything that he says anyway, but on Parade, it looks like it's all there. So maybe we don't even have to listen, but I'll listen anyway, because that will kill a plane ride. Also, I will be doing my own episode where I pretty much, I call it the after show for $20 patrons, where I break it down a little bit more thoroughly. That's what I like to call it. But I'll be doing that tomorrow morning, because I do actually want to like go to sleep tonight. And me and John are about to talk movies, because that's what we do as well. So we will see everybody on Monday night at 7 p.m. Become patrons so that you can get all of that fun stuff.
See y'all next time.